One of my favorite books that I finally read as I got older, it was daunting, it was a large book, it was written by Ayn Rand, it was her opus piece called Atlas Shrugged. And it's a very, very long book, a very good book, and I won't try to summarize it. But suffice to say, the book was published in 1957, which is the year I was born. And when it was published, Miss Rand sought to cast focus on a dystopian United States, and it was a kind of a loosely defined governmental structure and some unstated era. It wasn't really clear, was it the past, was it some future? It had a combination of all of that. But it was a sense of in which the contribution of an individual in that time to the success of an effort was not valued, but only the control of the use of the wealth or the goods that had been created by the people. The government structure that was depicted in the book is sadly far too much like our current reality to be anything but chilling. Incompetence and immorality rule, and men and women of character are despised and ridiculed by the elitist leadership that are unable to do much themselves but criticize and control or attempt to control. We see in our world that morality has become a fluid construct. Right and wrong are now a sliding scale established by the government and the elitists that I mentioned. The absolute laws of God have no meaning nor place in this particular equation, and we see that. It's not new. One nation under God is obviously our nation's tagline, if you will. As long as things like abortion on demand are embraced, and any other social construct that has moved into that relatively liberal and sliding scale towards immorality. Even the Pope some years ago boldly declared that hell is merely the action of saying no to God, as though there really is nothing to be concerned about. Suggesting that an individual believes that they're complete without God, and therefore has no need to obey and follow God's law. The law of mankind is sufficient for the people, and this was depicted in that book. They go to church on Sunday instead of Sabbath, and on Monday will tell God what they will agree to, how they will live their lives, and how we will run the government. This might include more than two possible combinations of DNA, two genders as designed by God, not good enough for a moral relativist, of course. A world that exists with more relative moral standards that are not of God cannot be counted on to value things such as life, human life, or any life for that matter. It exists as long as it does not offend the sensibilities of society of the day. We see this each day, and for each example I could offer, you could match me time and time again. In this world of the book, the action centers around a major privately owned railway and a steel mill that invents a brand new, stronger metal. And in each case, the national government of the day exists to suck the wealth and even more, the capital of human ideas and creativity. The government then attempts to select winners and losers and winds up being unable to do much more than try to control the public, but rioting becomes the norm and unrest becomes rampant. Sounds familiar. The problem with the novel, though, is that Ms. Rand believed that the true nature of morality exists merely to support the individual and their rights. It's not a bad premise to defend human rights, but to suggest that one's right to absolute happiness is above all else is a problem. Now, Ms. Rand, just for clarity, was an atheist, so it might not have been an issue for her and might have made all the sense in the world. David understood the problems with this, so let's jump into scripture now. And we're going to turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to chapter 14, and we're just going to read verse 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. So again, book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's pretty clear. I love the clarity of that scripture. It's what we need to know. Mankind is so adept at deceiving itself by the way of right clothes, education, and language that what is right and moral in one time can be modified and justified quite cleverly. We see this all the time as well. This is relativism. The morality moves on a sliding scale with some groups that believe it speaks for the majority. And I think we are also seeing that played out quite a bit in our country, our world now. The current situation is a good example of evil being administered by government. Where else in Scripture do we see this reality of mankind addressed? Well, we're going to turn now to Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 to 23. And I will just tell you that it continues on very, very clearly through verse 32. We're just going to focus on 18 through 23, but I'll encourage you to read through the rest of it on your time. The title of this section is God's Wrath on Unrighteousness. So beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." These are the things that man has done over time, and certainly the Israelites, even in their fleeing, when Moses was occupied, what were they doing? They were creating idols and doing things such as described here. It is so striking how slow we are as humans to learn. God gives us clarity, and we cloud it over with interpretation and sophistication and our own experience and our priorities. In Ayn Rand's fictional United States, the corruption had to reach such a fever pitch to cause the remaining quote-unquote good people to unplug from society completely and set themselves apart from the evil world that had developed. And they went to the mountains of Colorado and set up a whole little quiet society. And they were waiting for other good people to act and overturn the evil, so that they could begin to establish a new world. And it has obvious parallels as we think about the reality of the new world that's expressed in Isaiah 9, which is my favorite scripture. So I will continue now with Isaiah. He wrote about this as well. And we're not going to talk about my favorite scripture, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. That has such chilling meaning for me. It chills my core when I read that, which speaks of God's coming government, and I just love it. But instead, Isaiah writes in chapter 5 and in verses 20 and 21. And we'll read that together. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Love the clarity here. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now, I think there are two kingdoms, two paths, two ways of life. There is good and there is evil. There's love and hate, right and wrong. Those of the evil one love the darkness, as we know. We know those scriptures and that sliding scale of morality. Similarly, Paul wrote, and this is our final scripture for the sermonette, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Now, the world will look at the love and goodness of the people of God and they will hate it. We know this. We've learned this. This is what our studying shows us very clearly. But in the novel, as in our beliefs, good triumphs. And we know the final outcome is that God, Jesus Christ, and their believers win. We just have to hold the line to get there and be together.